since they want to know.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM at 7:50 a.m.
The NBA Finals are now set, coming up this Thursday, just a couple of days away. Game one between the Nuggets and the Heat. The Nuggets will play host to the 8-seed Miami Heat of Ball Arena. Unbelievable that the Heat find a way yet again to secure a victory in a near must-win situation. Well, it was a must-win situation after blowing a 3-0 lead, the possibility of a reverse sweep. Boston on the flip side, that's who we're going to focus on at least for a moment because we have a couple of days to preview the NBA Finals. And we will bring in James Holas. He typically joins us every Monday due to the long weekend, joining us on Tuesday. Plus, James, I know, look, today's an opportunity for you to vent a little bit.
Now I know how my teachers in high school felt when they look at me so exasperatedly and say, you are so smart, you are so talented, why don't you just put some effort into it? Why can't we not get you to apply yourself? Because that's how I feel about the Celtics. I feel like this all year, something was just kind of missing. And as the meme says, as the kids say, when you F around, you end up finding out. And Boston F'd around, fell behind 0-3. They found out in Game 7.
They've been, for me, this has been a team all year, and you and I have talked going back to opening week in the NBA. I thought they were the best team all season long. At times, they looked nearly unbeatable, and then at times, they looked very, very flawed. And you were concerned about this throughout the season. And in the back of my mind, I keep saying, well, not even in the back of my mind, here on air, I've been saying, look, it's the best team, most talented team, you don't have anything to worry about. Typically, when talent needs to win, talent finds a way to win. However, last night, watching this game, I started reflecting on some of the teams that were uber super talented that we believed would go on to win an NBA championship just based off of talent alone. And for whatever reason, it didn't come to fruition. There were problems. They were ousted. Talent got them deep, but talent couldn't get them to a championship or to win a championship on its own. There's a number of teams where this has happened to, James. Boston's not alone in this realm.
Yeah, but, you know, not being just because other teams have happened to doesn't make this one any better. But you're absolutely right. Let's think about those the Scottie Pippen and Rasheed Wallace Portland teams. Supremely talented, deep, skilled, but they never played cohesively. And this, I don't think, is on the level of that. But obviously, I think the Celtics might have got a little too wrapped up in their own talent. And they got away from what made them great last year, which was attention to detail. Malcolm Brogdon said something about this when they were down 0-3 about how they've lost some of their identity. And a lot of their identity last year, team playing against them knew this, attention to detail. They did all the little things right, and that way when they went on scoring explosions, they left you with no margin for error. This Celtics team slipped on all the details, and they gave other teams, worse teams, less talented teams, they gave them all kind of margin for error.
We can talk about Game 7, and again, we'll take this from a Boston perspective for just a moment. Jason Tatum was not right in this game. We saw him limp off the podium last night. Obviously, he hurt his ankle early in this game, on the first sequence of this game. He finishes 5 of 13, scores 14 points. He did get it done on the glass. I believe he had 11 or 12 rebounds, if I'm not mistaken. But, James, you and I were texting before the game, and I said, best of 7 to me, I've always gone away from home court in the best of 7. I've always picked the team that has the best player on the floor. And in this series, you can make a case for Jimmy Butler being the best, obviously, in the series, but you could also make a case for Jason Tatum being the best player in the series. I don't know if the injury affected this in any way, shape, or form, but it was obvious who the best player in the series was in Game 7, and it wasn't Jason Tatum.
Right, it was Caleb Martin. No, the injury was obviously, like, the very first play, less than a minute into the game, or like a minute and 10 seconds of the game, he rolls his ankle, and that sucks. It sucks, and you could see he had no burst. He had a couple of plays where he kind of grit down, and he blew past somebody, but he dunked, and he came down, and the camera caught him grimacing. The injury 100% affected him. He didn't have any shake. Defensively, late in the game, Butler started targeting him and was blown right past him because he couldn't move. But this is why you don't just piss away the first three games of a series, right? This is why you make sure you take care of your business, and Boston didn't do that. So there's no excuse. Injured or not, the rest of the Celtics should have been good enough to not let Caleb Martin and Gabe Vincent and guy like Duncan Robinson, actually have impact on the game. Boston was supposedly the deeper, more talented team, and they didn't play hard enough. That's it. They came in expecting you know, headgear and official boxing match, and it turned into a street fight, and they weren't ready for it.
Now we'll talk about Miami. The fact that these guys continue to defy logic. You know, we always talk about on paper, and you don't play games on paper. But, James, this team, it doesn't make any sense to me, right? And maybe that's what culture is about. Maybe that's what X's and O's behind the scenes, and we look at our Spoelstra. Yeah, you make the case he's the best coach in the NBA. Maybe you got a guy like Jimmy Butler where it's contagious. The rest of the team is feeding off of him. You mentioned Martin. We've talked about Vincent. You know, we've talked about Duncan Robinson. It doesn't click for me. It doesn't make sense. But this is now two out of the last three series I picked against Miami and thought that they would be blown away. And yet they find a way to get a win. It's actually amazing. It's incredible to sit back and watch.
I think the old trope is it doesn't matter how you play in you know, December and January. It's how you play in, you know, playoffs, May and June. And that's absolutely fact. They came together at the perfect time. Because all year long, they scuffled. They looked really bad sometimes. They looked disjointed. They had some bad losses to bad teams also. But they believe in their identity. They believe in their core. They kept plugging away. They did all the dirty work. They did all the hard stuff. And then all the rest of it coalesced. And that's what I think. Basketball is more than just talent on the floor. It's more than X's and O's. There's a certain – I'm not a superstitious person, but there's a certain, like, you respect the game and you do what the game is at, what the game asks of you, and the game will treat you right. And that's what we're seeing in Miami. Everything – Miami fought to the end. Dallas, you know, Dallas quit with a few games left. They said, no, we want to keep our draft pick. Miami fought to the very end, even when they lost to Atlanta. They beat Chicago, or however that went, and they just kept going, and they believe in their guys. Caleb Martin, that's ultimate confidence and self belief, because he's always been a role player. We can't mince words. He looked like a bona fide borderline all star against the Celtics, because that was all mentality, while Boston had the wrong mentality. So, yeah, that's why I love sports. I love basketball, and even if on the losing end. But, yeah, the other team, it sounds so cliche. The Miami Heat just wanted it more. They came into Boston, they took it.
Again, James Holis, our guest right now, as we talk about the Eastern Conference Finals. Miami picking up a win in Game 7, 103-84 over the Celtics last night, setting the stage for Game 1 of the NBA Finals. James, before we get into that, we'll look at this Celtics team. I always like talking about the team that comes just short. I mean, we spent some time talking about the Lakers after they fell to Denver. Where do they go next? It's the same conversation with Boston. Can you run it back with this particular team? Do you have to shake up the rotation? Do you have to move on from Jaylen Brown? What do you do when you have a team that's this talented? Obviously, had some real unfortunate situations occur at the beginning of the season, and you still fight your way to Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals. What do you do with this team?
We got to think big picture here. The Celtics have been in the Eastern Conference Finals, I think, four of the last 6 years.
Yeah.
They've been in the finals one of those years. So they're doing something right? They've been one of the final four teams in the majority of these last few seasons when Tatum and Brown have been on the court. But you got to take a big picture thing and say, okay, we have to find a way to nibble around these edges. And for 90% of the season, Tatum and Brown were amazing. It's a little bit like Joe Mazzulla said when they went down 0-3. Hey, out of a long season, we had a bad week. We picked the wrong time to have a bad week. So that's a little too simplistic, but the pieces are there. Now, on the other side of that, you can say this is three different coaches. None of them have reached the promised land the way they want to. But it's hard to win championships. So, I think you got the pieces. You got the kind of star baseline. Now the key is, what do you do next? I do believe that it's time to hand Rob Williams the starting spot. No more this BS with Al Horford and try to piecemeal the center spot. If Rob Williams can't handle it next season, halfway through the season, then you make a move or you figure out that you're center long term. I think it's they went in a little too in on the point guard thing. I love Malcolm Brogdon, but the shtick on him is that he's always injured. He was injured at the wrong time this year. Him and Derek White have a lot of overlap. I think you move him for a little more size off the bench. Size and a little scoring pop off the bench. Who knows who you can get? I'm not sure. A guy like Kelly Oubre comes to mind. I don't think he'll be available. Probably too expensive, but that's what I'm thinking. I don't know. Front office has to really look at the coach, Joe Mazzulla, and decide if that's moving forward. He got put in a really tough position this year, and he wasn't ready. He failed. Let's see if they can – you got to pivot away from him, or you say we're going to go all in on him. So I think the future is still bright in Boston. Right now, they're licking their wounds, and it looks bad. But a lot of teams would kill to be in the same position they're in.
No question. Of course, there's going to be a lot of storylines surrounding Jaylen Brown. Here's the problem with trading Jaylen Brown. And I've said this for the last couple of weeks when this was popping up, you know, the idea of having to make some sort of major change within the Celtics organization. If you're going to split up Brown and Tatum, good luck finding someone who's only 27 years old, who can still grow within a system, who can still grow within a team. Good luck trading Jaylen Brown for someone like Jaylen Brown, for someone who's as good as Jaylen Brown. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I mean, in the NBA, we see moves all the time that come to fruition where we sit back and we kind of laugh. But in the same instance, I don't know how much better you get trading Jaylen Brown and what you would get in return.
And that's where it comes down to, no matter what. I had a buddy who tried to call me, and I love him to death, but I got a little frustrated with him because, yo, you just let him walk and you start retooling. That's not how it works.
No.
But if he walks, then guess what? You don't get look, we have a $45 million cap space. That's not how it works. You don't let a player, after you developed him for 7 years, 8 years, you don't let him walk for nothing. You don't let an all-NBA second teamer walk for nothing. So you give him that contract. You're going to max him out. It's going to be a big number. But everybody gulps because they thought the same thing with his initial contract. It was 4 years, I think 110, and everybody laughed at that. He outstripped that. So you give him this contract. And if, let's say, a year down the road, you run it back and it looks, you know, next year looks just as, like, looks bleak and it doesn't, like, they're not progressing, then you can say, all right, we got this guy on for another 4 years at a max deal. Some team's going to want him. He'll be 28 in his prime. He's a 25-point-per-game scorer. He's not Jason Tatum, but he's not that far off where you're trading like a Corey Maggette type. You know, he's better than that. And then you can move him. And then you can say, all right, he's under contract. Jaylen Brown under contract for the next 5 years is more valuable than Jaylen Brown on an expiring deal. That's what it comes down to. So paying him the deal is both his worth and it makes for flexibility of the roster down the road.
James Olis again, our guest right now. James, we have to talk about game one of the NBA Finals coming up on Thursday. Yeah, once again, I look at this and I say, yeah, there's no way that Miami should win a 7-game set against this Denver Nugget team. I still believe that. I think Denver is going to win this series. By now, I mean, the listeners have got to say, boy, give Miami some credit up to this point. But look, Denver looked impressive against Minnesota. They looked impressive against Phoenix. They looked impressive against the Lakers. My only question going into game one, it's been a long layoff for Denver. Boy, it seems like forever ago that they ousted the Lakers, doesn't it?
Yeah, 100%. And that's obviously going to be a blessing and a curse. Those guys should be rested. Any little nicks and dings and issues they have should be healed up. They're relatively healthy and fresh. Cool. On the other side, it's a rhythm thing. And the only way you keep maintain a good basketball rhythm is playing basketball. They haven't been playing basketball. So I'm done trying to prognosticate anything on Miami Heat. They've blown me away at every turn. So I'm going to chalk it up to voodoo. And let's see if they can. Their defensive scheme is nice. It's airtight. Joker is a scheme breaker. Jamal Murray is a scheme breaker. And before I say anything else, kudos, tip my hat to Miami. I'm not making any excuses for the Celtics. The Celtics had everything laid out for them, and they let Miami come and flip their table over. Okay, but Denver, again, this is a unique challenge because as solid of a defender as Bam is, especially weak side, Joker is just a massive, massive guy, and like he pushed Anthony Davis around like he was nothing. So this, and Bam is not that kind. He's not as big as Anthony Davis. Jamal Murray is great at finding his own shot against any kind of defense. So let's see if those guys, they're going to probably put Jimmy Butler on him, at least try, because he's a bigger guard. Yeah, it's going to be a very interesting matchup. And every time, and Tyler Hero might be coming back on the horizon soon. Duncan Robinson is showing that he's playable again. Caleb Martin is rolling right now, and that's a good thing for them, like the short break, because he's going to carry that momentum right into the series. So, yeah, this will be very interesting to see. I think on paper, it looks like Denver should probably get them in 5 or 6 at the most, but there's no judging this Miami Heat team right now.
No, when I look at this, I'm saying, okay, Miami's not going to be able to use his own defense against Denver. They're not going to be able to do so. So we're looking at Bam and Jokic, right? And you brought up the Anthony Davis comparison. I think that's fine. You can look at that. You can use that as some sort of maybe at the end of the series there's a correlation there. Aaron Gordon, in my opinion, might just be the best defender that you could put on a Jimmy Butler. It's possible, right? And then you mentioned Tyler Hero. Here's the question in that regard. Does it benefit Miami bringing Tyler Hero back? I think those are the three big question marks. What do you do with Jokic, obviously? Because, again, you can't use his own defense against him. Can Aaron Gordon, is he going to be, is he the most likely guy to guard Jimmy Butler, that, to keep Butler, I guess, somewhat contained, and then Tyler Hero coming back. Those are the three main talking points, at least for me, when I look at game one of the NBA Finals.
Yeah, Bruce Brown and KCP will get a lot of time on Jimmy Butler, and obviously with help shading over, because he's going to try to bully ball his way to the middle of the lane. Aaron Gordon obviously will take a chance, a shot on him, and I think he could probably. I think Aaron Gordon is probably a really good Jimmy Butler defender. Should be. They have a lot of tape on him and his pump fake now from the Celtics series, so we'll see how he adjusts. Yeah, and you definitely bring Tyler Hero back because Kyle Lowry was damn near unplayable for large stretches against the Celtics. He had some really big shots last game. He had a couple games, but for the most part, he was pretty bad. So you bring Tyler off the bench at first and let him dip his feet back into the water. Maybe once he shows that he can hold up and he's ready to get a game or two to get his win back, then you put Caleb back off the bench. Caleb doesn't matter if he starts to come off the bench. He's instant offense right now. So, yeah, you definitely want to bring in reinforcements. You got a chance to win a championship. You're going to pull out all stops, throw the kitchen sink at the Denver Nuggets. And part of that's going to be trying to deploy Tyler Hero from the perimeter.
All right, we both stink. You went Celtics-Warriors. I went Celtics-Lakers at the beginning of the playoffs. Here we have Denver-Miami. It will give us somewhat of a chance, I guess, to redeem ourselves. I'm going to take Miami in five. Or, excuse me, Denver in five. I think they oust the Heat in five. Give me your prediction.
I want to say Denver in six just to give Miami their respect. But then let me just be outrageous. I'm going to say Miami in seven.
Okay.
Because every time we think, you know, it's almost like the Jason Voorhees, the Friday the 13th movies. They burned him, they crushed him, they knocked him out, and then here he comes walking back through the door with his machete. So, give me Miami in seven just for the hell of it.
Listen, they've knocked out the number one and number two seeds in the Eastern Conference. Now they have a chance to knock off the number one seed in the West. James, this is without any research, just going off the top of your head, off the top of my dome. If Miami was to close this out, I can't think of a more impressive playoff championship run in league history, and that's saying something. I mean, we got to go back to the Western Conference. I know where the eight seeds were 50-win teams. There were years where the West, 1 through 8, were 50-win teams, and it was a gauntlet to get there. But when you got to the NBA Finals, typically the Eastern Conference team wasn't outstanding during that stretch, right? So I look at this right now and I say, as a team that was on the verge of being eliminated by the Chicago Bulls in the play-in round, they oust Giannis and Milwaukee Buck team that is championship experience. They get through New York, whatever. Then they get through the Celtics, who are the defending Eastern Conference champs. Now you have a chance, a crack to knock off the one seed in the Western Conference. I'd be hard-pressed to find a better championship run.
Especially the way we just saw Joker playing. They knocked this team off, and yeah, they've defeated Giannis. Knicks or whatever. We can talk about who they defeated. Julius, cool. But then they knocked off Tatum and Brown, and then they knock off Joker. That would be pretty damn incredible. Especially when you account for that they lost their second-best player or third-best player early on in the first round. And let's talk about, again, more respect for them. Bam played like nothing in Game 7, and they beat the Celtics handily. That's embarrassing.
He's James Holas. He joins us each week to talk NBA basketball. James, it's always a pleasure. I appreciate the time once again.
It's normally a pleasure. It wasn't a pleasure today, but not because of you, my friend. So
that means a lot because, listen, I was in your shoes. It seems like months ago I was in your shoes, but no, it was only like a week and a half ago.
Yeah, man. So welcome to April. Let's go make our Cancun plans, buddy.
Yeah, there you go. James, can't wait to do it again. I appreciate the time.
Thanks again, bro.
We're going to pause for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return here on 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.